Come stop and take a trip down on my block. When you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than pencil. And ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, let's put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side. From Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North. The West End to West Side, we bless when we step out. We stand down, rise up, stand together, why?
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
This is a special edition of Stitchcast Studio, Rise Up, episode 18, titled The Power of Words. Youth leaders delve into the power of words, the history of spoken word, and the roots of hip-hop with rap artist and Story Stitchers audio engineer Integrity.
They say, who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Emira here with some of the youth from Story Stitchers and Teg, one of our audio engineers at Story Stitchers. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in to The Power of Words. So first off, and Teg, I'm gonna introduce yourself to people. I know you did a few podcasts now, but just in case this people's first time tuning in, you know, let them know what they don't know.
Hey man, what you don't know is, one, I celebrated a birthday. I'm 21.
Okay.
Happy belated 21st birthday.
Plus a few years, you know what I'm saying, but I feel 21. Grateful to be here, man. You can find me everywhere at Integrity Music. I'm an artist, an engineer, and producer here at St. Louis Story Stitchers, just trying to contribute to the growth of what we're doing, continue to see growth, man, continue to see lives change, and just leaving a good footprint behind. That's what I really love to do. You know what I'm saying? When they put me in the ground, they put on my casket, he left a good footprint behind. And I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
First question for y'all. Was there a certain like artist, genre, song, or album that really, you know, either inspired you or helped mold you as a person or as an artist? Kind of talk to me about that. Like, who were some of y'all influences, you know, and what type of influence did they have on you?
So, it's two. It was Chris Brown, like, for real, and then it was like Michael Jackson for some reason. Like, both of them were the reasons that I even started dancing, for real, because I was always watching Chris Brown videos, and my very first video of him that I watched, and it was continuous to where it was like my mama knew my favorite part of the video. She always called me like, Tony, your song gone, come do this dance for me, woo woo woo. And it was wall to wall, and it was always the ending of it. When it was finna go off, it was always the ending where they started doing a little breakdown part and they started doing a little footwork and everything. That was her favorite part, and she was like, Tony, your song gone, come back here and do the dance for me, this that. So I always did it every time because I always knew it. I watched it so much. So it was like, that's what it was like, okay, I knew how to dance from just that. So I'm like, okay, well, then if I can do this, if I can watch a video and get their footwork down and stuff like that, maybe I should just start dancing more often. And I was already dancing when I was younger than that, like before I even, you know, started being back in my, like, with my moms and stuff like that. So yeah, those my main two, Michael Jackson and Chris Brown.
Oh, dope. Anybody else?
Personally, I grew up listening to like Gap Band, Sugar Hill Gang, LL Cool J, Will Smith. I like that type of music, but what got me into like wanting to make my own music was like Journey and stuff like that. Like Journey, what's his name? Elton John. Him and them bands is what, like, you know, inspired me to want to like play the guitar, to do anything with music and the piano, because like it's just different. And I can, like, even though like people say, yeah, I relate to rap music more than anything, but me personally, I relate to that music. I don't know why, but like I just do, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's your wave, bro. That's your wave. For real.
Sometimes it'd be funny because they talk about how when Prince used to walk in the rooms or like parties and stuff, and it's like he ain't even walking, he's floating, you know what I mean? I see that whole aura on you, bro. Like, you got it, especially like knowing how to play and produce your own music and dance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see it on y'all. Like, y'all the wave right now. You know what I mean?
Chill, man.
Nah. Like, who really inspired me would probably be the honorable godfather, late great Tupac.
Oh, yeah.
he was the one, like the one who really sparked that in me. Like I learned a lot about the world, you know what I mean? Especially like not having a dad growing up. I learned a lot about the world through the lyrics of Tupac, especially his All Eyes on Me album. It came out in 96. And I was 10 at the time. And my mama, she didn't let me listen to no other hip hop. Like she would be blasting Tupac in the car like crazy because she was a hip hop fan. So if I couldn't hear 3-6 Mafia, if I couldn't hear No Limit them, I knew I was going to hear Tupac. So definitely Tupac, that All Eyes on Me album. The double disc is still a classic today because it was sparked the hip hop termination in me.
For me, I grew up listening to mainly X-Clan. It was a bunch of stuff, but as I got older and started listening to my own music, I would have to say Lauryn Hill, Missy Elliott, Toby Ingray, and Montana 300 for like 2 years. I listened to those people consistently, and then once I started producing, look at Erykah Badu, of course, and yeah, mainly her. Erykah Badu, looked up like female producers in St. Louis as well. So
that's dope.
I love me some Badu, man.
For me, it was kind of a mixture of things because I had a mom who really loved like that neo soul R&B type of music, and then I had uncles who loved rap music, you know what I'm saying? And then I had a friend, my best friend when I was younger, her parents used to listen to people like Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix, you know what I'm saying? So I had like a lot of like different mixtures of, you know, like vibes. But like for me on the connectivity level, like the people, once I got to high school and I really start to like experiment like with different artists, the ones I used to listen to the most was probably like, who was it? J. Cole, Frank Ocean, Drake, especially when he first came out. And he had some stuff with Bomb B that I just thought was so dope. You know, so yeah, those guys. A little later on, I started listening to Kendrick Lamar, but it wasn't like, you know, J. Cole and Drake. And I really was messing heavy with like Frank Ocean. And even like, who was that? Wiz Khalifa, I feel like, was one of the ones who really like, he made rapping look kind of like easy because he was just so laid back, you know?
Yeah.
He was pretty chill about it. So really, I hadn't even really started rapping. Like, you know, I was like putting stuff in like my diary or like in notebooks. But other than that, because I was like I was the guitar player at the school for a minute. And so I was,
We gotta stop right there. The guitar player of the school. You got the person you know for the janitor. You know who the basketball coach is. You know what I'm saying? My sis known as the guitar player. That's a whole different type of highlight right there. You know
every
what I'm
single
saying?
Time.
So if we gonna really get into it, I was my guitar instructor. I was his first female lead guitarist, like that was actually good. Like, you know.
Right, yeah, I know, right?
See the Kamala Harris of guitar. At her school. The first person. Woman.
American, right. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Every time he got on stage, boy, it was like you at a concert and it was supposed to be fireworks shooting out the side of the stage. It's supposed to be everything. Like, she stayed having that stage lit, man.
Yeah, I tried to, you know? But yeah, them were the people that kind of influenced me. And of course, I would, you know, give kudos to me actually being a guitar player. You know, that opens you up to a whole, because guitar ain't something you see everybody doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It takes like a certain amount of patience and skill to actually, you know, do that. So that took me into a whole nother realm of music. And then for myself, I even got deeper into listening to like Pink Floyd, Jimi Hendrix myself. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of mixtures in there. And so we are talking about, you know, the power of words. And in Teg, I heard you say, you know, you listen to Tupac a lot. Like, that was a heavy influence for you. Like, what were some of the things that he said that really connected with you? Like,
if I was to highlight any song that I connected with most from Tupac lyrically, because he got some dope stuff, you know what I mean? The one song I know that really stuck out to me lyrically, and it's not even like he had these huge metaphors or similes, it was just the impact, and it was Keep Your Head Up. You know what I mean? I was raised by my mama and my sister and my grandmother. They all mothered over me. I see the struggle of a black woman, especially, you know know what I mean, when there's not a huge male support system, you know what I mean? So I learned like strength from a woman. I learned compassion and nurturing from a woman, you know what I mean? How my grandmother nurtured over me, how my sister, even though she had to go without, she made sure I had. Seeing the sacrifices of my mama, you know what I mean? Working 2 and 3 jobs to make sure the fam had what we needed. Like that song, it spoke life to me. And then, you know what I mean? Him to hit us with that, Dear Mama, Mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. Like, that embodies who I am. You know what I mean? So, those two right there.
And to the youth, just a quick, you know, no wrong answer. Who is the Tupac of our generation?
Ain't no Tupac of our generation.
It's not. It's too many sub-genres of rap and hip-hop now.
Okay. Because for a little minute, I was turning, I think his name, is it NBA Youngboy? Or what's that dude? I can't remember who it was.
Hey, so you onto something. You onto something like that one. Okay. I can see that.
That's what I heard people saying it, you know, and I never listened to dude music.
Hey, I can see that, though.
But
he be spitting, like, real fast.
What about K-Dot or J. Cole? Y'all don't think?
Not for general. Yeah. I think millennials, yeah, but not for this generation. I feel
My brother said K-Dot is like, what'd you say, Andre 3000. He liked the Andre 3000 about generation.
That's a dope comparison.
Like a lot of, if you really, I used to try to get people hip, like even my peers hip on some of J. Cole stuff. Now, some of them was already just hip on them, but other people would be like, man, I ain't really feeling like listening to J. Cole. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like it's like one of them things where our generation really ain't, you know, they not really into that kind of like conscious rap. It's like, cause not everybody grew up on that, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, they not used to it. They like the pop rap and all that type of stuff.
To add to your point, though, before you, I think Tupac, he was able to connect with everybody from all different walks of life. He was able to connect with older white women, younger black girls, the dudes in the hood, you know what I mean? Parents, like the way he was able to connect with people. Mm. I don't know if I seen that since, you know what I mean? Like you get your Jay-Z's, but you know, he connect more with the trapping and now he's more on this business savvy thing. Mm. But I feel like Tupac connected with everybody, you know, the dudes on the prison yard, you know what I mean? That young kid like me growing up without a daddy, the dude like connected with everybody from all different walks of life.
Yeah. So what are some things that inspire you all to write your best, like what you feel are like genuine masterpieces, like things you probably ain't even put out? What usually inspires you all to, you know, come up with those masterpieces?
I would say things I've been through in life, you know, because you get the best. You get the best, like, songs and, like, even poems or anything from, like, your own experiences. Most likely, every rapper or every singer is rapping about something or singing about something that has happened to them or that they feel, you know? And so, yeah, I can say just, like, life experiences and just, like, you know, things I've been through. Like, even the good and the bad things, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, you know what time it is. It's time for our Pick the City Up art interlude featuring a poem titled But My Words by LaShonda, performed at the Gateway Arts for Stand Down, Rise Up, February 18, 2019.
When I was young, my daddy told me that sticks and stones would break my bones, but words would never hurt me. Why the lie? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but my words are my weapon. So brace for impact. I am a force to be reckoned with. Hope you stay intact. This is misery. We live in a compromised state. Being black, this makes my skin a weapon in which others feel attacked. But they got it wrong. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but Maya Angelou taught me that the cage bird sings. Grown from the depths of the black race, formed in a land of hate, that means my voice still stings. So let my liberty bell ring in your ears, my words sing. Freedom. See, Hughes taught me that giving my words hue allows a bigger impact. Big, bold, and black. I'm not describing a gun, but my mouth's the trigger, so get back. We will stop the violence, and I will do so with the pen, just as my ancestors did, because my voice is more powerful than any violence. See, black skin is jam-packed with statistics that add to your prejudices, but it's my words that will have you captured and enraptured in the black experience, where 21.8% of us live below the poverty rate, where Missourians have surpassed every other state in the homicide rate, where young black men are 9 times more likely to be shot and killed by law enforcement. I cannot exaggerate. Sticks and stones, listen. Under the crushing weight of my words, equality will no longer fluctuate. A book and a gun each weigh 2 pounds, but which one is more forceful? Our words will break the hatred. Our words will bring the peace. And the caged bird shall be freed.
I was asking, you know, what inspires you to make your, you know, your best songs or your best poems? Like, and I was saying that, you know, when I say best, it doesn't necessarily have to mean what other people think is your best, but what you think are, you know, those masterpieces or, you know, them dope one hit acquittal lines. Like, you know what I'm saying? What inspires you to do that?
Same thing of like human interaction is a big one for me, because how I talk to people or how people interact with me, I'm like, huh. Like if a pastor get a sermon from observing people, that's how it is with my music. Like I look at people and I see, or I'm like very like emotionally competent, so I understand like what's going on and I can tell stories, or someone tell me a story and I can just like transcribe it into a poem or something. So like human interaction, storytelling, movies even sometimes.
So
if you want me to be, to be a honey, my stuff comes from just, so it's like piggybacking off of what I'm already like, mainly like the topic is of what I'm supposed to be writing. Or if I'm writing like a personal song or something like that, then it just comes from me thinking about my mama and everything like that. But mainly hearing something like, okay, if you give me a topic to write about or write from, that's just what I do. But other than that, yeah, like if it's just personal, yeah, that's it. That's my mama.
About you and Tig?
I'm at a space now where I'm inspired by other dope artists, people who I deem to be out of the box creators. Like Quiet As It's Kept, I'm inspired a lot by watching Story Stitches, like watching you create E. Like even when you came out to the studio that day and you was letting me hear some of your music, that's inspiration to me. Like even back when I was a kid, like I played on a basketball team. Like if when I was on a team when one of my teammates scored, I'm like, ooh, I got to get me one in now. Right. You know what I mean? And I feel the same way now about my music. Like if I listen to something, and I haven't really been listening to a whole lot of music lately, I've been listening to more talk type of audio podcast. It's a new radio station here in St. Louis, 103.7, called the Black Information Network. And it's super dope. If y'all get a chance. Yeah, it's super dope. They talking about a lot of landmark people in history that's black, you know what I mean? A lot of modern inventions that you see now derived from an invention that a black person first created. Like I've been listening to a lot of that, and sometimes that sparks songs too. But like if I listen to a dope song, and it's just one of them ones that hit home, it inspires me to go create. So I'm inspired a lot by people around me, even with business ventures, like just seeing what Master P has done with the noodles and the pancake syrup and the red beans and rice. I'm like, man, I need more products out here. So now, you know, I'm working on new products. I got a new Pro Tools template I'm about to drop and things like that. So I'm inspired by out of the box creators around me. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And do you all think it's important to be intentional too with like the songs you make or the poems you make, like with the words that you say and how you say them? Do you think it's important to be very intentional with what you're saying and what you put in the atmosphere? And if so, or if not, why?
For me, as a songwriter, especially if I'm making music for other people and I know their personality, like word choice is always the best thing, what I use in my vocabulary. Of course, my parents don't allow me to cuss, so of course I have to find different words to fill in or expand my vocabulary. That's usually what I do before I write music. I look through a dictionary or find a thesaurus for a week, and I'm like, okay, I have my topic, I know what I want to write about, I always refer to them. And then it also depends to like what's your demographics, who you're trying to reach out to. If you're trying to reach out to people my age or younger, you're gonna say certain words and they're not gonna understand these big fancy words, rather than people who are educated or who have degrees, and you're trying to reach out to them like, hey, especially if it's about your community or something, like, hey, this is what I'm trying to say. So I think word choice, wordplay, your etiquette, like those things are important whenever you make music.
Given that most of like the stuff that I made is just literally like just guitar riffs and like drums and stuff, like put lyrics to and stuff, I really don't be having no motive or like no crowd I'm, you know, reaching. Like I don't do it to reach a certain crowd. It's just like for me, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. That's like the type of like attitude I have. Cause you know, some people make music for trap people. Some people make music for just all different types of genres. For me personally, it's just how I feel in that moment type deal. So I don't really have no intentions or with the words I'm saying. It's just like straight from the like heart and like the brain type deal.
I feel like the same way a small spark can start some of the most biggest wildfires, or a small little rudder can control the direction a huge ship goes. The small tongue that's in our mouth is the most powerful thing on our body. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So once that word comes out, you can't take it back. It's almost like if you take an axe, slapping at a wood fence with it, you can pull the axe out the fence, but those marks are still gonna be there. So the same way with the words that we allow to come out of our mouth. I've seen marriages die because of words. I've seen relationships die because of words. I've seen opportunities lost because of words. But I've also seen marriages flourish because of words. I've seen opportunities and businesses grow because of words. I've seen whole generations be impacted with just words. So I think being intentional about the words that we use, understanding that this little thing inside of our mouth can be the cause of a huge forest fire, or it can be the reason a whole generation rises up. And you see multi-billion-dollar black businesses ran by young kids. All that power lies in the tongue. So whether you're penning some rhymes or you're preparing a speech, writing a book, those words have power. And y'all know me, I'm a believer. I believe in God. And in the beginning was the word. You know what I mean? So I think that being intentional about the words that we say and we use, knowing that once that word goes out there and the atmosphere is out there, you know, I think that that's a good way to approach, you know, your next sentence.
Yeah, for sure. Since we're talking about the power of words, was there ever like what's that like one piece of advice or something somebody said to you, or a quote that you heard that, you know, keeps you going when things get tough? Like, what's that thing that you play back in your head that you say to yourself in your mind, you know, to keep you going when you feel like you can't, maybe, or when just things get tough and a storm comes?
Man, that's a good question.
It is.
And I give an example too. For me, it's not really even a word, and I know I talk about this a lot, but for me, it's not even really a word. It's a dream that I had when I was like six, you know, of myself in the future. And every time I just get in like a rough place, like when I was 15 and I was getting in trouble at school and my mama had a hard time seeing me, you know, get out of that phase, you know, I was still able in my mind, you know, and verbally say like, this is not where I'm gonna be, you know, when I get older. Like, this is not what's gonna happen. Cause I had a vision. Like, I seen, you know, that God gave me that dream. So I feel like, you know, that was his picture. Like, that's how he sees me, you know? So that's just what I keep striving for. Like, even today, like, that's just what I'm striving for and striving to be, you know? So even when I get down, when people doubt me, you know, or I start to doubt myself, I just remember, like, what I was shown, you know, what I seen, and it kind of just keeps me motivated, you know?
I wish I had something super profound to say right now, but I think one phrase that sticks in my head when I'm really going through a tough time is, tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Yeah.
And I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like even just with my cousin who died this year on Cinco de Mayo from cancer, 36 years old. Like, she fought to the end. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, gave me a new sense of fighting. You know what I mean? This person suffering from cancer, never smoked, never drank. You know what I mean? And just her life. They always talk about people who like a thermostat, like who can walk in the room and control the temperature in the room. That was her. You know what I mean? Like, she, even when she got sick, she walked in the room and she just commanded happiness from everybody in the room, man. And like, to see her fight, it lets me know, like, whenever I'm going through a super huge tough time, this tough time not gonna last, you know what I mean? But I will, because I got the wherewithal and the perseverance to push through it.
Definitely. Anybody else?
What was the saying?
No, it wasn't the saying. It was like people was always telling me when I was going through what I was going through when I was in high school is that you have a lot to live for. That's what my thing is. They always tell me you have a lot to live for. So anytime that I feel like I want to like stop doing something or just give up on what I'm really destined to be or to strive for, I just think about like why, like keep basically just keep going, like don't stop because you feeling like you some, like I guess you feeling discouraged a little bit or whatever, just keep going and everything like that. So yeah.
Anybody else?
For me, it would have to be like a lot of people, like when I'm down on myself, they was like, why are you down? You have potential. So whenever I hear like you have potential, I'm like, okay, I'm there. Especially like you said, you had a dream when you was younger. I had a dream as well. Like you have potential. So whenever, like I set very high standards for myself and I'm very hard on myself. I can't be hard on myself. And so whenever like I get down on myself, I'm just like, ugh, can't do this anymore. People are like, you have potential. And then another time it had to be, first time my dad said he was proud of me because me and my dad, we didn't have a good relationship growing up. So when he told me, I was like, okay. So it was weird, but like as that pushed me because I'm like, he actually noticed me for the first time in 16, 17 years, he noticed me. So that just pushed me every day too. And then like notes that I get from my teacher at the end of the school year, like you're gonna be something, remember me. Like those things always push me as well.
That's good. How do you all feel like hip-hop has changed the climate of our culture? Even whether it's like new generation hip-hop or just hip-hop in general, but how do y'all think it has like shifted the way the world sees our culture, like through hip-hop?
I think although it has largely been somewhat negative, hip-hop has a myriad of positive influences like on society. People criticize hip-hop, but I've seen a number of good come from hip-hop. Like, hip-hop saved my life. Like, you know, just pursuing hip-hop and seeking a career in hip-hop, that was one of the things that kind of pulled me away from other things that could have potentially ruined or took my life. So I'm always be an advocate for hip-hop, yet and still I understand how it can be viewed in a negative light. You know, they always say hip-hop is a personal reflection of that artist's environment and where he came from. Yet and still, I feel like most times, even if it's a first album or you coming out the gate, yeah, you can talk about seeing your cousin getting shot. Yeah, you can talk about having to sell, you know, drugs to take care of your family. But I feel like as you grow, as you started to see different routes to take, I think it's an obligation and a priority as an artist to talk about that as well. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to curse somebody and bless somebody with the same tongue. You know, you can't be like, tell your kids, you dumb, you stupid, you'll never amount to anything, but I love you. You know what I mean? They cancel each other out.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yes, you experienced that. Yes, you went through that. So it's good to kind of talk about that and share your experiences, but don't leave it there. You know what I mean? Talk about, you know what I mean, seeing your mother do what she had to do to take care of your family and that strength. And I see that my daughter's coming up having that strength. Like, I think having that forward vision enough to know that who's going to come behind you and gravitate on these words, I think that that's a responsibility and a priority.
Definitely. Anybody else?
Hip-hop has, like Integrity said, did positive and negative things, because you got positive influences and negative influences in hip-hop, you know? So it's just like, you got a lot of dudes that are really trying to be NBA Youngboy, really are trying to be these rappers and like getting themselves killed and like doing dumb stuff. But then,
Preach, Cali.
But then you got the people that's looking at these rappers like, nah, I ain't trying to be like that. And that's the positive that come from it. Also, the stuff that these, I don't even like, who was a positive influence of rapper? My brother said Kanye. Yeah, it's like we look up to those people, but then like I said, you got the bad ones. Well, the quote unquote bad ones that we kind of shun a little bit because like you got our sons out here running around toting green flags, talking about some slat and slime and all that stuff. When they're not, you know, that ain't cool. But they are doing it because they see the mainstream rappers doing it. So.
And that's how they can get it, you know?
Yeah.
They just following the example that was set before them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Anybody else got anything on that topic?
The first thing usually I refer to when I think of like hip hop, I always go to the culture. So, you know, clothing, like 90s Will Smith type vibes or X-Clan. This like very like boom bap upbeat type, and then you get close to like 2000s, you have Migos and other people. So I feel like it depends on what side of the spectrum you are, like what you see, is it bad or good? Like my mom, of course, she's gonna be like the hip hop now is trash because she's used to, you know, Tupac and people from the 90s, 80s. Etc. So it just depends on who you are, what side of the spectrum. I don't know. I also have mixed feelings because it's like you have some people who's like, I want to tell my story, but it's getting clouded by like mainstream people who's like, your story is out there. You've been saying the same thing for like 5+ years. Let's hear something different, you know?
That just sparked a question. And Tay, what do you say to like a young artist who is looking to, you know, break through in the industry, but is having trouble with, do I make stuff that is trendy or do I stay true to myself and try to wait it out? Like, what would you say?
I love that question. The short answer would be don't compromise. It's easy. It's real easy to compromise. You know what I mean? You get rappers like 6ix9ine rapping about being a thug out in the streets. You know your track record don't show that though. You know what I mean? You're doing that because it sells. You know, here in America, we love crime. Scarface, you know what I mean? The Sopranos. We love crime, drama, murder. Contrary to popular belief, they demean hip hop, you know, people who are outside the culture. But when you look at America as a whole, we love violence. We love drama. We salute the drug dealers. We salute the Scarfaces or the Tony Sopranos. Those are the people that we silently root for in the movies. And at the end, when they die or they finally get locked up, you sad. You know what I mean? So we can't sit here and put hip hop in this box. But if I had to say the long answer to a young artist thinking to get into the game, just think about the forefathers. What were the reasons for them even, you know what I mean, doing hip hop? And it was to create the social awareness, things that were happening in our cities that nobody knew. You know what I mean? Giving a voice to those problems, being a catalyst and being the billboard for like the police brutality. Like, and people gonna come behind you listening to these words and listening to this music. And you want to make sure that you're not steering people off a bridge. Because I feel like sometimes rappers consider themselves not role models, but you are. Because you have an audience. So you do have an obligation, whether you want to have that obligation or not. I feel like as an up-and-coming artist, as a person that's considering getting into this industry, think about that. Think about the impact your words are going to have on another unseasoned mind. Like, kids aren't born racist, but if they see their parents talking bad about another race, if they see their parents treating another race a certain way, sometimes those feelings get indoctrinated in them and then they start to think that that's okay. You know what I mean? So what you put out is a revolving door. You know what I mean? Artists now who talk like even they talked about Future popping Molly's, and they talked about Drake, one of his latest songs. I think he was saying he was popping pills on. And the person who was doing the interview that I was watching, they were saying like, dude, you 30 something years old, like you ain't popping no pills like that. But just imagine these young people who listening to this, going to these clubs, you know what I mean? They like, well, Drake, my favorite rapper, he popping pills, so I'ma pop them too, not knowing the risk, not knowing that if you drink lean, you gotta have, I think they said, a certain amount of ounces of water for the certain amount of ounces of lean you drink, or you can have a seizure. So these rappers will put it out here like, all right, yeah, I'm sipping lean or I'm popping mollies, but you ain't educated people on the negative effects of it. Right. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's an obligation and a responsibility of new artists. Like, if you're going to tell your story, just know it's going to impact somebody in a certain way, whether you talking about life or you talking about death. It's going to have an impact. Once you put it out there in the world, it's out there.
Yo, that was dope. That was dope.
You blew up Shuway. You feel me?
That was dope, though. I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, and took it home, man.
You know, so, yeah, I agree with what y'all saying 100%, you know, and I appreciate it. Everybody for sharing, you know, your stories and your inspirations and your wisdom. And thanks, Intake, for, you know, hopping on with us today. Really diving into, you know, how words and music really impact and shift our culture.
Yes, sir, the wisdom wizard.
Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening to this podcast episode. And we had an amazing time having this conversation. And yeah, I hope y'all share, like, comment. Peace.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the StitchCast Studio sponsors, the City of St. Louis Youth at Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers.